Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany.
So today we want to go ahead and just kind of talk about, we've got Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday, and depending on how productive we are this week, this episode might air after Thanksgiving. But either way, we kind of want to talk about gathering with family and what that looks like, and kind of how to be like present and notice things. Got a lot of good thoughts today. So,
and we're super productive, so of course this will be out in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. Positive thinking, Kaylee.
So let's see. I wanted to start with a quote. It's from Lionel Hampton. Says, gratitude is when memory is stored in the heart and not in the mind. And I really like that. It just seems like it, I don't know, it's a good starting point, I think, to how do you, like, in the busyness of everything, how do you, like, actually make memories that are going to last? And how do you practice gratitude when there's so much to be done, you know?
Well, and I think when you think about your heart, that seems to involve more senses, where you're talking about like taste, smell, touch, versus mind maybe doesn't involve as many senses. So, you know, as you're thinking about gathering with family or friends and thinking about all these different senses and all your memories related to that song you heard playing or that specific smell that, you know, of a certain recipe that your mom always makes. I think it's just these senses play a big part.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a good point, because I feel like Thanksgiving and Christmas are both full of sensory experiences, you know,
right.
All the different things you're tasting, smelling, the air, like outside is colder. There's definitely a vibe that comes along with, you know, the holidays.
So all the sweaty boys playing in the basement for after.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, football game, turkey bowl, and they come in. That's also a
that's true.
Nostalgic.
Maybe something
reminder.
We don't want to remember as much.
But yeah, it makes me think of growing up. So my dad passed away a couple years ago, but we have fond memories of him that are very specific. So whenever we were growing up, he loved to cook. And he always cooked specific things. So everyone knows Grandpa made biscuits. He made pie. And he also made these things called Ebelskibers, which all the grandkids love. But
ice cream. Homemade ice cream.
Yeah. And ice cream. I mean, everything sweet. That was just his thing.
Yeah.
But he, part of the memories of him are a gigantic mess. I mean, you would walk in the kitchen and every single inch of the counter would be full of flour and berries and butter and every pan in the kitchen. But he was so happy. Like, I just kind of picture him sometimes like this jolly Santa Claus. He's kind of a bigger guy and just like completely oblivious to everything and just enjoying himself. And we used to always kind of laugh and complain about how he would leave the kitchen and everyone else would have to clean up this huge mess, you know?
Yeah.
But now looking back, like, that's a core memory that maybe there was a little bit of irritant maybe when it was happening, if you were the one that was going to clean up. But now looking back, that irritant's totally gone and it's just so nostalgic. And every time you make biscuits, it's just like you think of Grandpa. And I think about that with gathering with family and maybe thinking about what kind of memory do you want to make? What do you want people to remember about you or your family years down the road? And then planning for that.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I heard a quote the other day on some interview. They said, like, once you become aware that life doesn't come at you, it comes from you, then you've really, like, understood it.
And
I was just like, oh, That's so good, especially because it's so hard to feel like that sometimes, like, especially when there's so much going on, like, seems like things just get faster and busier. And so remembering, like, life isn't coming at me, it's coming from me. So what's coming from me right now? You know?
Yeah, that's so good. Because just recently I was thinking there was a couple things I'd been to that I didn't seem to enjoy as much as I had in the past. And I was realizing it was because me and all my friends are so tired. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're just like sit down and just like, oh, heavy.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, like, what vibe am I putting out there? If every time I'm with people and I'm putting out this tired vibe, it's going to be a tired activity. But if I come and I'm thinking, oh, I cannot wait to go to this thing. And when someone mm-hmm. says, hey, how's your week gone? However, and you are ready with something like, oh man, this awesome thing happened to me. That just completely changes the tone of that gathering.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so true.
Well, and I think we've talked about this a little in the past, but a lot of that comes from not focusing on yourself. So mm-hmm. when you go to a family gathering or friend gathering and you're thinking, what are they going to give to me? Like, yeah. I want to be filled versus, oh, I can't wait to see this person and ask them about how this is going or something. So maybe let's talk about how do you prep for that? Like, how do you prep? Let's just say Thanksgiving, just because in the U.S. that's where we're at and we're getting prepping for that. So you're getting ready to go to this big family gathering, or if you're not near family, you know, gathering with friends. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do to prepare yourself to have a good time and have a really memorable experience?
Honestly, I think the thing that matters the most to me is like the things I miss about people. I think that really helps me to like get ready to see them again. You know, is mm-hmm. If I spend a good amount of time like really thinking about each person and the things that I just like miss, like that they bring to my life that I don't have without them there, I feel like that's something that I can't wait to feel that in my life again, you know, and to feel it as well, like just have it, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder if you actually took some time in the days leading up to it and just sat down just 10 minutes and wrote down people that were going to be there and what you know about them or what things you want to ask them. Because do you ever go to those places where you get there and all of a sudden you're just kind of drawing a blank and you just end up saying the same thing? Hey, how's it going? Yeah. How's work? You know, always leads to like, how's work? And then when we leave, I just think, why did I do that? I don't want to really know how work is going, you know?
Right.
And so what if you actually took a few minutes, just wrote down some of the people that are going to be there and, okay, what's going on with this person? What do I want to remember to ask about? Or some people, like we've been laughing lately because there's been a lot of dad jokes going around our house. So maybe you have that one person and you prepare the perfect dad joke.
You know, or ask them for a dad joke.
True. Or maybe you're like, okay, we have this dad joke competition in our house. I need some new material. What do you got?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You ask your favorite uncle who always, you know, has the jokes. But I think if you take a little bit of time and prep yourself, it'll make it more meaningful. And the intention of thinking about these people will make you already start to feel nostalgic and start to have a positive experience.
Yeah. And so I feel like that can help because you can be tired and miss someone at the same time. That's easy to do, you know? And so like, even if you're tired, that's something that you're like, I can miss them. And then when they come, I'm excited to see them because I've missed them.
Right.
You know?
Or what if you're like, okay, I know we're all going to be tired because we're going to have cooked the day before and we're all just, we've been standing on our feet. And what if you just thought, I'm going to bring everybody a foot soak, like one of those little like packets, you know, or whatever from Walmart. And you're just like, hey, here you go. I know we've all been up working all day to create this meal and I know you might enjoy this later. And You would kind of laugh and be just like, oh my gosh, yes, thank you so much. You know, like it would just
actually
kinda...
that's so strangely specific, but very needed.
Right. But just the fact that someone thought ahead of time and brought something. My sisters are so good at stuff like this. Last time we were at Thanksgiving. Well, it's probably every time we're at Thanksgiving. We go a lot to one of my sister's houses. And she is very thoughtful and intentional. And at the end of the meal, she brought out all these cute little to-go boxes.
Oh,
and was like, here.
That's genius.
Divvy up leftovers. And I just thought, oh, man, I would have been searching through my house like, okay, here's a Ziploc bag for you. And here's a glass container for you. And but she just had thought ahead. People are going to want to take stuff home. And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big expense, probably. But, you know, that's just taking a few minutes to prepare and kind of run through what the day is going to look like, what you want it to look like, and just kind of thinking of those pain points. Okay, everyone's going to need something to take leftovers. I'm going to get that ahead of time. Everyone's going to be super tired from cooking. So what can we do to still have fun but not be on our feet for a while?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I've got kind of a, I think I want to bring this in an interesting direction. So I feel like there's a lot of ways to kind of like prepare yourself and prepare like the people that are coming over for things. But I want to take a minute and think about like, what do we do this for? Like, why do we gather with people? And why is this such a big part of our culture? Like, to get together with people and have these big dinners several times a year, you know, what about that? Like, if it's so much work, why is it something that we keep doing? Is it just tradition? Is it just that we're used to doing it? Like, what would it feel like if we didn't do that? Would it be better? Would it be worse?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This year, we're just having our immediate family and my mom, and you're not even going to get to go. So you're going to go to in-laws. And we're trying to get our older son to be able to get home from college, but it's going to be very small. So we're not going to be seeing all the extra people. And there is a noticeable difference. Even the kids are kind of like sad. You know, oh, we're not going to see our cousins. And so then you think, okay, why are we doing this then? If the only person we're going to connect with is our immediate family and my mom, their grandma, you know, why are we doing this? But there's just something so special about pausing. And I think these meals help you pause. You know, you're hopefully not checking your phone as often, and even just the day before cooking, in my mind I've just been trying to look forward in a positive way of, I'm going to be making pies in the kitchen the day before. I'm hoping some of my kids will be in there with me making them, and they'll just be laughter and talking and probably a Christmas movie on or something. And that sometimes is hard to come by, so any chance that I can get to have my kids gathered around or friends or family, it's important. You know, I was telling you about this book I've been reading. It's called Hamlet's Blackberry, and oh my gosh, it's so good. But it's talking about the digital age and how you can build a good life even with technology, because you hear so many times people say, I wish my kids would get off screens, or I wish I wasn't on screens so much. And he tells, so the author is William Powers, and he tells this story about when he's driving in his car to go see his mom. He's flying out, and he calls her to say, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And he points out certain things, like on his phone, there's a picture of her and she's kind of laughing, and it's just her classic, when you think of mom, this is what you think of. And then he talks to her, they have a good conversation, he hangs up. And then he talks about this gap that he didn't go immediately to music or immediately to the next thing on his phone or whatever, there was this gap. And in that gap, he was thinking about his mom, and he thought about the picture, and he thought about seeing her laugh in the kitchen, and he thought about all these different memories. And all of a sudden, the car just filled with this nostalgic joy that wouldn't have been there if he had filled that space with something. And so he goes on in this book and talks about how people have, if you're focusing on something and you're interrupted, it is really hard to get back to the thing you originally started with, whether it was a book or a person. Once you're interrupted, it can take up to 15 minutes to get back to focusing on that person. And if that interruption extends to, you're talking to someone, you get a text. That text leads you to think about this email you should have written, which makes you think about a project at work. And then you stack up all these other interruptions. And then maybe you're at a restaurant and the waitress comes and asks you for your order. You just interrupted yourself so many times that it's almost impossible to get back to the original thing you were focusing on. And yeah. So I was thinking about this gap and how many times I do that in a day where a text will pop up all of a sudden. I'm talking to somebody. Text pops up and you glance at your watch, glance at your phone. And it sends a message, one, that that person isn't as important as this interruption or that book or whatever it is, isn't as important as interruption. And also, it's going to be hard to get back to fully focusing and being attentive to that thing.
Yeah.
So I think thinking about that as you're going into a gathering is important. What are you going to do so that the people you're with know that they're more important than the interruptions?
You know, that really does give a whole new, view on quality time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the amount of times you are with someone and something pops up, even if it's just in your head, like, oh, I forgot to do that today. Or like, oh, wait, that's due tomorrow. Or, oh, what day is it? Wednesday. Okay. You know what I mean? Like if you have stuff like that all the time popping up in your head, are you really giving that person quality time? You know?
Yeah.
And if that person, I love languages, I think can be sometimes controversial, but I think if somebody really knows, like I feel the most loved when I am like getting this deep quality time, then they could be missing out on getting love.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's definitely me. I am a quality time person. So I'm not a big things person. I don't like gifts necessarily or just stuff, but I can never get enough quality time. Like that's just my thing. So
yeah,
you know, if I'm talking to someone and all of a sudden they get on their phone for something, I almost feel like I could stand up and walk away and they wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
And that's never how you want to feel. But I also feel like on the flip side, if I'm talking to someone and they say, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. You mentioned this thing last week. How's that going? Then
it's like, oh,
they actually remembered a conversation we had or a birthday or whatever. So,
yeah,
I think that if you're planning this Thanksgiving gathering, what you have to be intentional. What are you going to do to only focus on the people that are with you in that moment? Because that's what makes it so special.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a dinner. It's the cutting off everything else and focusing on the people you're with.
And there's really something special about being noticed by other people, you know, like not even just being cared for or being talked to, but just being noticed by other people. Like if you walk in, and especially if you're at a big event and someone's like, whoa, how are you? Like, tell me about yourself. You know, that's like...
Yeah, can you even imagine someone like running across the room when you walk in? Hey, you made it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens sometimes at family gatherings or even some of my friends, we always joke because my kids, especially the girls, will go somewhere and all the girls will run up to each other and give each other hugs.
Yeah, that's like, so cute.
Oh, it's been so long. It's been like a day, you know,
yeah,
since they've seen each other. And then the boys will kind of walk and be like, hey.
So.
But my friend and I were joking, like, what if we practice doing what our girls are doing? What if as soon as the moms came to drop off their kids, we all jumped out of the car. Oh, my gosh, I haven't seen you. Gave you a big hug.
Yeah.
It would be kind of funny, honestly. But
yeah,
the sentiment is like,
it's so cute. And it really is like, that is something that I think little girls do better than little boys, you know, like, is just being like genuinely noticing and getting that feeling across to people. Like,
yeah,
I love you. You're great. I care about you. You know, where'd you come from? Tell me.
I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting all day for you.
Yeah.
You know? That makes me think even more. How many times do kids ask you, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Are we going to see cousins yet? Are we going to see cousins? You know?
Yeah.
And am I thinking that in my head? Am I thinking,
is it time yet?
How much time left? Is it, are we almost going to see so-and-so? Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Or am I just like, I mean, to call myself out the other day, one of my girls was asking me, I can't remember what she was asking me about. Something about what am I looking forward to about the holidays or something. And then right before I answer, she say, and don't tell me you're just already so tired from all the busy stuff. And I was like, okay, that actually is kind of how I'm feeling. But it did make me kind of catch myself and be like, oh, am I saying that a lot? Like, maybe I need to not vocalize those thoughts and I need to actually be excited for something. Because I am excited.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't vocalize that. I just vocalize the hard part.
But I'm tired. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe just actually vocalizing the gratitude or the excitement. Because there's so many exciting things about this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there's so many memories that I have of times where I did feel really noticed by someone and times where I didn't. And it's really interesting to think about how that's affected me becoming who I am. And it really does affect people. Like, it really does affect the trajectory of their life and their connection with you. And you wouldn't think like, oh, I don't, you know, I didn't notice them this one time, or I didn't like say hi that one time, or I didn't talk to them that one time, but there were so many people there. And, you know, but I feel like it really does matter to people. And whether they, you know, acknowledge that or not, I think it's something that can be so powerful. I have one memory. I remember we were at a family reunion and my grandma and my grandpa are both really good at noticing people. And I remember I was like really having a hard time because I was a teenager and it was just, you know, like we had just moved or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like tired of making friends and I was tired of being the person that says hi and introduces myself. And we hadn't seen cousins in a couple years. And so I think it was kind of like one of those things where I was just like, I'm just too tired for this, you know?
Yeah, and I reintroduce yourself to all your family.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm already doing this with people at my house, you know, like moving in and having all these new friends. I don't want to do this with cousins and, you know, extended family too. And I remember I had a couple experiences where I walked in the door. And like, as soon as I walked in, somebody was like, hey, what's up? What'd you do today? Or like, hey, like you're, you know, did you go down to the lake or whatever? Like, you look like you're coming back from somewhere. And even though it wasn't like it's not like they complimented me. Like they literally were just noticing me. Like they would just notice like, oh, hey, you're, you know, soaking wet. Like, did you go swimming? And even that was just like, oh, wow. Like someone noticed me. That's great. And I've seen that a lot, especially like at school or at church. I've noticed there's some people that kind of tend to just sit in the background and be kind of quiet, but, and they look like they don't want to be talked to, you know? Mm-hmm. And as soon as somebody like just notices them, like, oh, dude, like your hair's looking cute today. Or like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, but I feel like every time I see you, you've got, you know, this about you. Or even just being like, hey, what's up? How are you?
Yeah.
It's like, immediately their face like lights up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important with family. Sometimes we focus so much on everyone else that we forget the people that are close to us. Whether it's like spouse, kids, or extended family. But mm-hmm. sometimes we just assume they have to be here. Like,
right.
You know, yeah. they can't leave me. But I think there's a lot of families that don't have great relationships. And so if you have mm-hmm. one that actually get along, it's good to notice that and to be grateful and to show that appreciation when you're around them.
Yeah.
And pay attention. And maybe we should even say for those that aren't getting together or maybe have some rifts in their family, are there any ideas of how you can make this holiday time a time of healing, you know, where you can get together mm-hmm. and maybe heal a little bit, not make everything right, but maybe take one step in that direction?
So hard. I feel like there's so many, you know, so many different cases that everything's mm-hmm. so different. But I do think that sometimes, depending obviously, but sometimes it can be helpful for me to just like remember that person, you know, like even if I don't reach out to them, like even if I can't reach out to them, remembering them, mm-hmm. it feels different, you know, it feels like there's something that you're giving them, even if you aren't.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Maybe we take a play out of the Hallmark bingo card. And it makes me think of those times. I'm a huge Hallmark fan. I mean, my kids yeah. like roll their eyes.
You
every
and Connor.
Time. Right. My 9-year-old. Well, he's 10 now. My 10-year-old. We like Hallmark.
10-year-old boy.
Hey, I was hoping my girls would be the ones, but nope. He's my sensitive one. So, but it makes me think about those times in those Hallmark movies when, of course, the girl and guy, they have to not like each other at first, right?
Right.
So they're, yeah. you know, they have to, something has to go wrong. They have to hate each other. And then you always have this moment where they're like, can we just start over? Hi, I'm so-and-so, you know? And well, what if you actually did that? What if you were like, okay, me and this family member, we do not get along. Like, we irritate yeah. each other, whatever. And you just do like Hallmark. You're like, let's start over. Hey, I'm so-and-so. Yeah. Tell yeah. me about yourself, you know?
Well, especially, I feel like that actually could work if it's someone that it's just felt kind of off with, but you don't know why, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
Like, just being like, hey.
Well, and most of that just requires you. Like, you just have yeah. to let go of all those preconceived ideas, even if they're mm-hmm. true. Like, even if really yeah. there has been some hard things that have happened.
Yeah.
You can either say, okay, these hard things have happened and I'm going to keep holding on to those for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're always going to feel that way, always, when you have that family gathering.
Yeah.
Or you can say, I'm done harboring mm-hmm. those bad feelings, regardless of what the other person has done or not done. And yeah. I'm just ready to let all that go. And I don't need to let them decide who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And you just decide who you want to be. I want to be the kind of person that smiles when I walk in a room, acknowledges everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had that time where we've had people that just have not gotten along, you know, in extended families. And something happens when you just let it go. And I remember mm-hmm. one specific time where I was just like, this person doesn't want to be here. I know it. And
yeah,
how would I feel if every time I had a family gathering, I didn't want to be there? I'm just going to, no matter what happens today, I'm just going to go out of my way to talk to that person and just try to make them feel welcome here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it made such a difference. I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but even if it was just me, I felt different.
Yeah.
And I think you can go into gatherings like this with that mindset of, I want to feel, this is what I want to feel today, and this is what I'm going to do to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a lot of kind of realizations lately just about that. Like, it is tricky, you know, when it's somebody that maybe you've tried to like set boundaries with and they aren't really sticking within your boundaries, like someone that you're going to have to distance yourself from a little bit to keep those boundaries. But I do think that there's a lot of personal responsibility that comes with that. You know, if there is like no relationship is just one person, it really is two people. And recognizing the things that you are contributing to the problem, even if you don't go and apologize or like fix them per se, recognizing I did these things and that's making this person feel this way. And I feel sorry for that. Like, I am so sorry that I contributed in that way. Even just having that kind of helps to just understand the person, you know, even if they aren't someone that you're going to like make up with, become best friends with, or be like, okay, we're back to normal. Mm-hmm. Even just recognizing like, okay, this is somebody that like that. I feel like, I think you always think you've forgiven someone, but until you're seeing yourself and that person as both like super flawed people and both capable of like doing wrong, even if you didn't actually do anything wrong, being able to view yourself that way in that situation, at least for me in my situation, has helped me to kind of just forgive them and actually move on. And actually like hold, you know, love for them, even though I'm not compromising on things.
Yeah. And I think forgiveness is a huge part of gratitude that, you know, obviously we're not talking about abuse or things like that. There are real situations when you actually need to be distanced from someone, and that's, you know, a different situation. But we're just talking about just normal family issues, you know, or friend issues. Yeah. And I think forgiveness goes a long way and someone has to start.
Yeah.
And I think if you, going back to the quote that you said at the beginning about holding memories in your heart, those memories can be good or they can be hard. And you get to choose not what happens necessarily, but how you're going to hold on to that memory. And if you might need to change it a little bit in order to forgive and and just be grateful that you're all together again. So maybe wrapping up, you know, just kind of going back, we talked about preparing for the gathering, thinking about the people, thinking about how you want it to go, and actually making a plan. And then digitally disconnecting.
Yeah.
You know, connecting in person, letting those things, you can let the Black Friday wait till later. You can let the text messages, maybe put your phone on do not disturb, but actually not letting those interruptions show that they mean more to you than the people you're with. And then maybe doing some soul searching and forgiving before you get there so that you can kind of start with a clean slate.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that one last thing I would add that we kind of went over is Try to notice the people that maybe you haven't noticed. And a lot of times they're people that are going to be right under your nose, you know, especially if you're like, you're just getting together with close family this year. There's probably so many people that you live with every day. Like, I'll just be with Bryson for actual Thanksgiving Day. And so just kind of realizing, like, this person needs to be noticed, even though we're together all the time. There is something different that I can add by just noticing them.
Yeah, not saying, oh man, we don't get to be with those other people, because that doesn't make you feel good. But if you are, you know, try to change it and say, I am so excited we get to do this year. What fun things could we add to this tradition? Or and making them feel like, oh, it's not that this isn't going how we wanted it. It's that this is exactly how we want it. This year is just small, and that's exactly what we want this year. Next year, maybe it's going to be bigger, and that's exactly what we want next year.
Yeah.
But just really enjoying whatever you have and making the most of that one-on-one time.
Yep. I love it.
Creating the memories. So if you're in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully you have a Hallmark movie. Family Thanksgiving.
This is your Hallmark lead-in to the perfect Christmas.
Get your bingo card. Count off. We actually should make one of those, a Thanksgiving bingo card, like Hallmark style.
Or an exercise routine. Every time somebody says, well, I didn't expect that. Or, oh, look, it's mistletoe. 10 jumping jacks now.
That would actually be really funny if you had catchphrases at Thanksgiving. Anytime someone says a certain word or something, you have to do something. That would be really fun, actually.
That would be.
So that's all the next thing I'm going to work on, is all these ideas that we've been giving out there. I feel like I have all these ideas, and I just need to slow down and actually do them.
Yeah, same.
So,
same here.
You know, again, this is how we end. Pick one. Not 20.
Pick one.
Pick one thing you're going to do to make this Thanksgiving more meaningful and joyous.
On that note, we will see you next time.